So tonight, I'm going to talk to you concerning a particular subject, and it's simply, the subject is simply, restoring the art of pleading your case. Restoring the art of pleading your case. And we're going to talk to you about prophetic intercessory prayer and how to manifest your good and how to make things happen in your life. And so I want you to get to know that God watches over us 24 hours a day according to Psalms chapter 121. And in his word, he calls us to watch and to pray with him. Revelations 4 and 5 states that the angels and the 24 elders worship God literally night and day. The Bible teaches us to pray that God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven, and in heaven there is only praise, there is only worship, there is only intercession. So it is likely and is only natural for us to seek his presence. So in heaven, there is around-the-clock praise and intercession and prayer, and yet we have lost the art of interceding. Intercession. What is intercession? Entering a session. Enter a session in the presence of the Lord. That I'm going into an inner place. That I'm going to be seated in a session with the Father. And so the Bible teaches us that there is only praise and worship and intercession in heaven 24 hours a day. And this is why we believe that praise and worship and intercession should also take place on earth 24 hours a day. And God has been dealing with me about that. How, and I'm singing in the spirit, I'm calling it forth, I'm making my confessions that we will have a 24-hour prayer center where saints will be praying and interceding. That God will consume the land. And the only way in which this can be realized is by establishing a 24-hour prayer watches. And yet, in the Old Testament, the fire on the altar kept burning. And the fire upon the altar shall be kept burning on it. It shall not be allowed to go out. The priest shall burn wood on it every morning and lay the burnt offering in order upon it, and he shall burn on it the fat of the peace offerings. Tonight I'm asking for a peace offering. I'm asking for the peace offering tonight. The fire shall be burning continually upon the altar, and it shall not go out, according to Leviticus chapter 6, verses 12 through 13. So the priest... two most important tasks were, excuse me, the priest, two most important tasks were, number one, intercession. It was intercession through prayers and offerings. And number two, praise and worship. The fire on the altar was a symbol of the continual praise, worship, intercession, and reconciliation done by the priest. And yet God himself appoints watchmen on the walls to pray for the fulfillment of his promises. My prayer tonight is everyone that is on this line, that God will make you a prophetic intercessor. And I'm going to talk to you about what the priest does, and how, as prophetic intercessors, how we're going to intercede for not only our blessings, but the blessings of those that is connected to us, that the blessings of our church, the blessings of our community. So God appoints us as watchmen on the walls to pray for the fulfillment of his promises. And I've set watchmen upon walls, O Jerusalem, who will never hold their peace day or night. You who are his servants, and by your prayers, put the Lord in remembrance. That's what we're going to talk about tonight. How do we put God into remembrance? How do we put God in remembrance of his promises? Keep not silence, and give him no rest until he establishes Jerusalem. Do you not know that us as intercessors, that we should never give God rest? that we must constantly remind him of his promises concerning us. So we as servants, as believers, and by our prayers, we put the Lord in remembrance of his promises, and we must not keep silent and give him no rest until he establishes Jerusalem and makes her a praise in the earth, according to Isaiah chapter 62, verses 6 through 7. It is God himself who appoints the watchmen, number one. Number two, they must stand before him 24 hours a day. And number three, the watchmen may not keep silent or allow him to rest until all of God's promises have been fulfilled. God's word holds thousands of promises for us believers. He holds thousands of promises for his children. And scripture instructs us to continually pray for the fulfillment of these promises. Why was we not let the altar rest? Why must we not let God rest? Why? Because I'm going to teach you tonight on how to restore the art of pleading your case to Father God. It's an art, and you must know the art. In the book of Luke chapter 18 and verse 7, God promises that he will do rightly by us, set right what is wrong: crime, violence, poverty, drug abuse, corruption, immorality, injustice, broken marriages, even the AIDS epidemic. If we call him night and day, shall God not do justice to his chosen people who he called him night and day? How long shall he let them wait? How long shall he let them wait, according to Luke chapter 18 and verse 8? And so Paul, number 5, Paul's letter speaks of the night and day intercession for the church and for the advancement of what? The gospel. So to serve God the Father night and day through praise and worship, to grow in intimacy with God, and to live in his countenance, according to Revelation chapter 4, verses 8 through 11, and reads, "And the four and living creatures, individually having six wings, were full of eyes all over and within, underneath their wings, night and day, they never stop saying, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, omnipotent, who was and who is to come. And whenever the living creatures offer glory and honor and thanksgiving to him who sits on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall prostrate before him who is sitting on the throne, and they worship him who lives forever and ever, and they throw down their crowns before the throne, crying out, Worthy are you, worthy are you, worthy are you, O Lord God, to receive the glory and the honor and the dominion, for you created all things by your will. They were created." And so tonight I want to talk to you about restoring the art of pleading your case. Charles Spurgeon said, "It is the habit of faith, when she is praying, to use please. Mere prayer sayers who do not pray at all forget to argue with God. But those who would prevail bring forth their reasons and their strong arguments." Have you brought forth your strong arguments today? Yet it seems so unthinkable. How could you and I presume to argue with God? It is not presumption to obey the word of God, nor is it presumption to remind God of his mighty works and unmatched power. God is pleased each and every time we come before his throne as we're whispering and reciting and declaring and pleading for the speedy fulfillment of his unfailing promises. What? In Jesus' name. For Father God is glorified when his children humbly urge and entreat him to rise in his power on behalf of those in need. And yet when we learn to recite the countless ways he has delivered in the past, is redeeming the present, and will, guess what, and will overcome, and will overcome in the days to come. Do you know how to plead your case? Do you know how to plead your case? So, pleading prayer. Even though I do not fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow bothers me. Now let's look at scripture here. In the book of Luke chapter 18. Even though I do not fear God nor respect man, yet because this woman bothers me, I will give her legal protection. Otherwise, by continually coming, she will wear me out. And the Lord says, hear what the unrighteous judge said now. Will not God bring about justice for his elect who cry to him day and night? Are y'all hearing me, brothers and sisters? And will he delay long over them? I tell you that he will bring about justice for them quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth, according to Luke chapter 18. And so Isaiah the prophet battled with an unrepentant and even defiant nation of Israelites who refused to acknowledge sin or abandon its idols, even in the face of defeat and bondage, and literally through the prophet that reveals the heart of God towards us, even when we're in sin and trying to justify our rebellion. Isaiah chapter 43 and verse 26 says, put me in remembrance, put me in remembrance, let us plead together. Declare thou that thou mayest be justified. Declare that thou mayest be justified. Another person says, put me in remembrance. Let us argue our case together. State your cause that you may be proved right. The Living Bible says, oh, remind me of this promise of forgiveness, for we must talk about your sins. Plead your case for my forgiving you. Now, this verse reveals the broad shoulders of God, who is so powerful and confident that he can afford to listen to the arguments of you and I. Even those of angry and disillusioned people who often step far beyond the bounds of wisdom in their complaints to God, he especially delights in the humble but confident prayers. He delights in it, and how we approach him, in boldness, but also in meekness, in boldness, but also in love, in boldness, but also in respect. Prove me now, saith the Lord, will I not? Prove me now. God wants to be proved. He wants to be proved in your life, in the life of your children, in your ministry, in your marriage, in your family, in your home, in your career. God wants to be proved. So he delights in the humble but confident prayers of his kings. See, we're kings and we're priests. We are a kingdom of priests who are called to intercede and remind and plead our case to Father God. Oh, beloved, if you can get this here tonight, you are not just a mere man. You are a priest. You are a kingdom priest. You are a kingdom of priests. Plead your case and intercede and remind God of the promises and the things that he has spoken concerning you. God, you said in Genesis that you blessed them, and you said, be fruitful and multiply. You blessed Adam and Eve. You blessed them. So when he blessed Adam and Eve, he was blessing you. Plead your case and remind God that you said in your word, that you said in Genesis, as you blessed them, you said, be fruitful, be multiply, and have dominion. So he delights and the humble but confident prayers of kings and priests who come to his courts in the name and company of his son, Jesus Christ, approaching him on the basis of his word. That's the key. On the basis of his word. God wanted to kill all of Israel and told Moses, this your people, a stiff-necked people. God and Moses began to have a conversation with God. And he reminded God of what he said. And, but wait a minute, God. If you destroy them and wipe them out, what will the enemy say? What will your enemy say? Are you an unjust God that you brought them out of Egypt only to kill them? And the Bible says, and God repented of his evil ways. He didn't do it once, he did it twice. Where the Bible says that God repented of his evil ways. Meaning thoughts. Because it was contrary to his word. God has set a system that he cannot lie. He cannot fail. Why? Because he set up a system that his word governs him. His integrity to his word governs him. Oh, si na 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 masando. Rabba, si na 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 masando. So, this is clear biblical precedent establishes the fact that we have God's permission and God's invitation to plead our case and to make appeals in the courts of heaven before our, what, great judge and God. Now, the dictionary definition of plea is to argue a case or cause in the court of law. To argue a case or cause in the court of law. Number two of the dictionary definition of plead. It is to make an allegation in an action or other legal proceedings, and a definition for plea is the earnest entreaty. Now, the Hebrew word translated as plea in Isaiah declaration is shaphat, which is S-H-A-P-H-A-T. S-H-A-P-H-A-T. It means to judge, to pronounce sentence, to vindicate. It also means to punish or to legate. Now, the Hebrew word translated as declare or to state your cause is kafar. Kafar. And that word is spelled C-A-P-H-A-R, which means to score with a mark as a tally or record to inscribe, and also to recount, to number. Now, these definitions taken together begins to paint a clear picture of judicial settings described in purely judicial terminology. So, to argue the case as in court of law, to pronounce sentence, to punish. This begins to reinforce my conviction today that for us to succeed as intercessors, hear me, for us to succeed as intercessors, we got to know how to plead our case. We got to know how to state our cause. We got to know how to declare it. We got to know how to score with a mark. We got to know how to argue our case. And so this begins to reinforce what my conviction that for us to succeed as intercessors, we must have a revelation of God's Almighty as the judge of all flesh. And yet we are privileged, hear me saints, all believers, we as prophetic intercessors, we are privileged to practice before the bar under the authority and the invitation of our judge advocate, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. So as our new birth, he is our attorney. Yes, Lord, he is our attorney. As intercessors of the Lamb, we serve as assistant advocates of the kingdom. Hear me. We serve as assistant advocates of the kingdom charged with what? Defending the king's people and persecuting the king's enemies in the spirit realm. Because we are a kingdom people. So we're charged, so we must defend the king's people and persecute the king's enemies by walking into authority, by decreeing, by declaring, and pronouncing sentence on the enemy, by persecuting the king's enemies in the realm of the spirit, the adversary and his rebellious followers. And each time we come before the bench of the judge of all, our chief advocate comes alongside and takes us by the arm and presents us before the judge. The legal credentials, because you have legal credentials that he has delegated to us. So what are we doing? We're literally practicing before the bar as assistant advocates sent from the high offices as firstborn, the Lamb of God, the chief intercessor, and chief advocate of the redeemed. I want you to understand who you are today. I want you to understand who you are today. Because we're going to restore the art of pleading our case. And so the writer of Hebrews carefully painted a picture to contrast what the difference between a man's approach to the judge before the cross and what and after the cross. And the difference is absolutely crucial. So as intercessors of the Lamb, we serve as assistant advocates of the kingdom charged with defending the king's people and persecuting the king's enemies in the spirit realm. Hebrews 12, verses 18 through 21. Hebrews 12, verses 18 through 21. For you have not come to a mountain that can be touched and to a blazing fire and to darkness and gloom and whirlwind and to the blast of a trumpet and the sound of words which sound was such that those who heard begged that no further words should be spoken to them. For they come not to bear the command. If even a beast touches the mountain, it will be stoned. And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I am full of fear and trembling. That I am full of fear and trembling. Now let us begin to compare believers, the old covenant picture of fear and dread with our place of entry under the new covenant of the blood of the Lamb. And so Hebrews 12, verses 22 and 24 says, but you have come to Mount Zion, but you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to a matrix of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn who are enthroned, who are enrolled in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood, which speaks better than the blood of Abel, according to Hebrews 12, 22 and 24. Oh, hallelujah. And so the book of Hebrews here begins to describe to all of us on this line, all of us prophetic intercessors, all of those that is full of the new birth, you intercessors of the Lamb, you advocates of the kingdom. So the book of Hebrews begins to describe the dwelling place of God and the beginning of what? And the beginnings and the beings who dwell there with him. We are reassured today as we realize that when we step before the bench of this judge, we will be in the company of worshiping angels and familiar people like Moses, hey, like Aaron, like Hur, like Isaiah, like Deborah, like the Apostle Paul, like Barnabas, like Simon of Cyrene, Mary, the mother of Jesus, Peter, the fisherman made apostle, Teresa of Avila, Paul, and different individuals that have done great things for the kingdom of God. Best of all, we come before the judge of all to plead our intercessory case. We come to the advocate, the merciful one, Jesus Christ, the mediator who sprinkled blood continually cries out. Mercy, mercy, mercy before the judge. With the blood of Abel come only cry vengeance, but mercy before the judge. And yet, when you and I persistently, because I want to teach you the art of pleading your case, when we persistently bring our pleas before the judge of all in the courtroom of heaven, Lord, the Lord looks upon us. He looks upon it as faith. And the process of presenting our case and our arguments pleases God. I want you to know that it pleases God. Why? Because we're bringing his word and we are reminding him of his promises. And that we are expecting the fulfillment of all that he has spoken concerning us. So the process of pleading our case and our arguments pleases God. And it also helps us understand the need completely. It moves us in compassion, and it strengthens our determination and arms us with a greater depth of holy hunger. In the first chapter of Isaiah's prophetic book, God declares, come now, let us reason together. Come now, let us reason together, in Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 18. So we see here, beloved, that this is an invitation to a court hearing where God is pleased to hear our requests, our petitions, and our pleas. Job openly longed for such a place. Today I want to say to you, make his presence a habitation, not just a visitation. The book of Job, chapter 23, verses 3 and 5, and it reads, Oh, that I knew where I might find him. Yeah. Oh, that I knew where I might find him. Oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come to his seat. I would present my case before him and fill my mouth with arguments. I would learn the words which he would answer and perceive what he would say to me. Hey, hallelujah. Hey, hallelujah.
Yes.
Jeremiah chapter 14, verse 7 and verse 21 says, although our iniquities testify against us, O Lord, act for your name's sake. Do not despise us for your name's sake. Do not disgrace your throne of glory. Remember and do not annul your covenant with us. Don't do it. You said in your word that you're going to bless me. You said that if I give with the right heart, you'll bless me. You said that you will cause men to give into my bosom, that you will open up the windows of heaven, and men will pour into my life. You said in your word that a cattle on 1,000 hills is yours. You said in your word, I'm pleading my case. Oh, that I may have a seat in his court, that I may plead my case. Joshua pleaded with God to help Israel, asking, what will you do for your own name's sake? What will you do for your own name's sake? Joshua 7 and 9. Let's take a look at the footprints and the footsteps of Abraham. I want y'all to get this tonight, saints. I'm teaching you the art. I want to teach you the art of restoring your pleading case. One of the first great intercessors in the Bible was Abraham. and in his most famous intercessory prayer was for one of the most sinful places in ancient world, and that was Sodom and Gomorrah. Sodom and Gomorrah had become synonymous with sin, with sexual debauchery and sodomy. Yet the great patriarch of Israel, the father of faith, interceded passionately that those twin cities of sin be spared. And I believe it was this kind of compassion that led God to say, "Shall I hide from Abraham what am I about to do?" When you know how to plead your case, when you know how to come into his presence, when you know how to remind God of the thing, God can't, he won't hide stuff from you. He said to Abraham, he said, "Shall I hide from Abraham what I am about to do?" And Abraham made sure that everybody in his house worshiped the Lord. He made sure his children served the Lord. So God could not hide anything from him because he was an intercessor. He was an intercessor. And he had great faith. Genesis chapter 18, verse 17. So when God told Abraham that he planned to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, the patriarch asked God if he planned to destroy the righteous people along with the wicked. Abraham then made the counterproposal. He made a counterproposal. Will you indeed swipe it away and not spare the place for the sake of the 50 righteous who are in it? In Genesis 18 and 24. When God agrees to relent, if 50 righteous people were found, Abraham persisted to drive the numbers lower. He persisted to drive the numbers lower, knowing only Lot and his family could possibly qualify. The patriarch whittled the number down to 20, and in verse 32, he reached a pitiful place that is important for us to see. Abraham said, "Oh, may the Lord not be angry. Oh, may the Lord not be angry. And I shall speak only in this once. Suppose 10 are found there. Can we get a tithe? Let's get a tithe. Let's get a tenth." If he could only find 10.
Jesus.
God loves the tithe. God loves the tithe. God loves the tithe. So God begins to agree with Abraham's request. And yet this passage caused us to begin to wonder, what if Abraham had stopped at 10? What if Abraham hadn't stopped at 10? God definitely showed no signs of being angry with Abraham over his persistent intercession and pleading on behalf of Sodom and Gomorrah. In fact, I believe God liked it. And I can come boldly before the throne. I believe that Abraham could have went even lower. But again, I wasn't there. And I certainly don't know the facts at hand. And yet this incident illustrates one of the fundamental laws governing our relationship with God and man. God quits when man quits. Hear me. God quits when man quits. What did you say, Charlie? Yes, God quits when man quits. I wish I had the time tonight. If y'all want to just hang out with me. If y'all just want to hang out with me. And so I want to look right now at four biblical definitions of an intercessor so that we can begin to paint a clear picture of our calling as priestly intercessors. And I want to bring everything else we study into proper perspective tonight. So I want to give you some biblical definitions. You're a priest. You're supposed to intercede. As an intercessor, and yet an intercessor is one, number one, what is an intercessor? Number one, an intercessor is one that reminds the Lord of promises and appointments not yet made and fulfilled. That's what an intercessor does. They remind the Lord of his promises and his appointments not yet met and fulfilled. Father, I'm asking everyone to get your seed in the ground of the 59:17 as we've spoken according to the prayer. Many of you, the prayers has gone out today, and I sent you a written word in there as well. If you've done it once, do it again. Do it again. So the Bible declares in Isaiah chapter 62, verses 6 through 7. On your walls, O Jerusalem, I have appointed watchmen all day and night that will never keep silent. Never keep silent. You who remind the Lord, take no rest. Listen, listen. You who remind the Lord, see, and it says, you who remind the Lord, take no rest for yourselves. Give him no rest until he establishes and makes Jerusalem a praise in the earth. So number one, an intercessor, one that reminds the Lord of promises and appointments not yet met and fulfilled. Number two, they take up the case of justice before God on behalf of another. They take up the case of justice before God on behalf of another. Isaiah 59 and verse 15 through 16 says, Isaiah 59 verse 15 through 16 says, yes, truth is lacking, and he who turns aside from evil makes himself a prey. Now the Lord saw, and it was displeasing in his sight that there was no justice. And he saw that there was no man, and he saw that there was no man, and was astonished that there was no one to intercede. Intercede for your family. Intercede for your loved ones. Intercede for your church. Intercede for your community. Intercede for your nation. Intercede for your place of work. Intercede for those that are in authority and those that are in power. Intercede for them. There was no one to intercede. Number three of the four biblical definitions of an intercessor: makes up the hedge and builds up the walls of protection in time of battle. Ezekiel chapter 13, verses 4 through 5 says, O Israel, you prophets, O Israel, your prophets have been like foxes among ruins. You have not gone up into the breaches, nor did you build the wall around the house of Israel to stand in the battle on the day of the Lord. So then it just says, you ought to make up the hedge and build up the walls of protection in the time of battle. Number four of the four biblical definitions of priestly intercessors: they stand in the gap between God's righteous judgment, which is due, and the need for mercy on the people's behalf. They stand in a gap between God's righteous judgment, which is due, and the need for mercy on the people's behalf. Ezekiel chapter 22, verses 30 and 31 says, and I search for a man among them who shall build up the wall and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. So he was looking for a man. He said, I want to destroy it, but I'm looking for someone. I'm looking for someone that can intercede. I'm looking for an intercessor. For someone to stand before me for the land that I should not destroy it, but I found no one. What's going on in your family, your household? God is looking for an intercessor. He's looking for a prophetic intercessor, a voice, a priestly king that will stand and be an advocate. Thus, I have poured out my indignation on them. I have consumed them with the fire of my wrath. Their way I have brought under their heads, declares the Lord God. I want you to pick up the phone and dial the ministry. I want you to dial 404-380-1478. 404-380-1478. Some of you, some of you doing the seed of the 159:17, of the 259:17. Some of you doing the seed of the 559:17. There are three that can do the seed of the 1059:17. That I am declaring that I'm going to be an advocate. Oh, but I tell you, the promises and the blessings of the Lord. Will you dare to step out in faith today? That I am making a declaration, that I am taking a stand, and that I am going to be a prophetic intercessor. And I will stand in the gap for my generation. I will stand in the gap for my family. And that I will plead my case. That I will plead my case in the courts of heaven. Se ha yala manasando. All of you kingly priests, you kingly priests today, well, how do I know that you are kingly priests and a nation of priests? How do I know? Because the Bible says so. Yeah, kananana masando. Si, si, nanana masando. Si, nanana masando. Exodus chapter 19, verses 5 through 6. I want to read that. Now, therefore, if you obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people. For all the earth is mine. Verse 6, and ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests. All of you kingdom of priests that is on this line today. And you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. I speak this to every one of you that are on this line tonight. You kingdom of priests. You advocates. You will fight and you will intercede for the people of God. So we are priestly intercessors, and we deal with two kinds of promises. Hear me. As priestly intercessors, you and I are to deal with two kinds of promises. Number one, the promises recorded in the Word of God that are yet to be fulfilled are ongoing promises available to every believer by faith. I'm going to try to get that. We are to deal with two kinds of promises. The promises recorded in the Word of God that are yet fulfilled are ongoing promises available to every believer by faith, and prophetic promises given to us in our day that are true but are yet to be fulfilled. I want to go over to 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 18. I feel like I need to just stop for a moment and see where your head is at. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 18. This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare, holding faith and a good conscience, which some having put away concerning faith have made shipwrecks. God tells us in the book of Jeremiah that he is watching over his word to perform it according to Jeremiah 1 and 12. Now, that means the most valid and effective way to present our case before God is to rehearse and to respectfully remind him of his unchanging word. But you said, God. But God, you said. According to your word, you said. And I know that you're not a man that you should lie. So according to your word, you said, Father God, in your word. This is not something that I spoke, God, but you said in your word that you'll save my family. I plead my case like Abraham for Lot and his family. I plead my case like Sodom and Gomorrah. 50, save 50 of them. Could you save 100 of them? Save my household, Father God. Save my seed that they may prosper. Save my seed that they may do your will. Save my seed so that they may live according to your word and obey your word and obey your commandments. Save my household. Save my mate according to your word. So when we rehearse a promise from our faith of God, he requires himself to watch over that word to perform it. Even then, we're only authorized to argue or present our case for those things and petitions that, number one, are in accordance with God's will. Then, number two, extend his kingdom. And number three, to glorify his name. Number one, or there must be accordance to his will. Number two, they must be there to extend his kingdom. And number three, to glorify his name. To glorify his name.
I want to go back to the book of Exodus so that we can begin to take a look at how Moses pleaded his case. I want to go back to Exodus chapter 32, and we're going to start at round about verse 5. This is going to bless you.
And when Aaron saw it, would he build an altar before it? And Aaron made proclamation and said, tomorrow is a feast of the Lord. And they rose up early on the morrow and offered burnt offerings and brought pieces of offerings. And the people sat down and eat and drank and rose up to play. And the Lord said unto Moses, go get thee down, for thy people, now he says, now for thy people, your people, which thou brought out of the land of Egypt, have corrupted themselves.
Yeah.
They have turned aside quickly out of the way which I have commanded them.
Mm.
And they have made them a molten calf, and have worshipped it, and have sacrificed thereunto, and said, these be thy gods, O Israel, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt.
Mm.
They were corrupted.
Yeah.
And the Lord said unto Moses, I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people.
Yeah.
Verse 10 says, and then Moses, now therefore let me alone, that my wrath may wax hot against them, that I may consume them. Now this is God speaking, and I will make of thee, I will make of you, Moses, a great nation, not them, but I will make of you a great nation. And Moses besought the Lord, he pleaded his case.
Yeah.
And Moses besought the Lord his God and said, Lord, why does thy wrath wax hot against thy people? Now, first we see God's telling Moses his people, and now Moses comes back and says, no, your people.
Yeah.
He says, no, your people.
Mm.
So Moses besought the Lord his God and says, why does your wrath wax against your people, thy people, which thou hast brought out from the land of Egypt? Now, first, God tells Moses that you brought them out of land. Now, Moses comes back in his case and says, no. You brought them out of land because you appointed me.
Yeah. Yeah.
So he is in the court with the king, and he has to plead his case. He has to remind God of what he has done. No. Here. They're not. These are not my people. These are your people that you brought out of the land of Egypt. Now look what he says here now. And Moses besought the Lord his God and said, Lord, why does thy wrath wax hot against thy people, which thou hast brought forth out of the land of Egypt? Now look at Moses' whole conversation.
Mm.
He says, which thou hast brought out of the land of Egypt with great power. You're great God. So he's recognizing the great power of God, but he's still pleading his case.
Mm-hmm.
With great power and with your mighty hand, you did this, God. I didn't do this.
Yeah.
You did it with great power and with your mighty hand. Wherefore should the Egyptians speak? What would the Egyptians say?
Yeah.
For mischief, did he bring them out and slay them in the mountains, and to consume them from the face of the earth? Turn from thy fierce wrath, and repent of this evil against thy people. Now look at what Moses is speaking to God. What a play. What a dialogue here. That he's telling God, turn from thy fierce wrath, and repent of this evil against your people. What audacity. Then he says, now he's still pleading. Now look what he says now, prophet. He says, remember Abraham? You forgot what you said to Abraham, God? Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel? And thy servants whom thou swearest that thy own self and said it unto them? You said it to them, God. I didn't say it to them, that I will multiply your seed as the stars of heaven, and all this land that I have spoken will I give unto your seed, and they shall inherit it forever. But look what you look at the word that you spoke, your prophetic word, God. Look what you promised Abraham. Remember what you said to our forefathers? How can you wipe them out? Then you will be a liar. Verse 14 says, And the Lord repented of the evil which he thought to do unto his people. This is what I'm talking about. You got to know how to plead your case.
Yes.
Moses pleaded his case with great wisdom. It wasn't disrespectful. Mm. He reminded God of what he had spoken. Of the promises, what he has spoken. This is what we're talking about today.